Namashrestam anamapi sachi putram matra swarupam rupam dasya grajam hurupurim maturim ghostavatim radha kundam girivaram mahuradika madhavasam krapto yashipatita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi Janulam Bhuto Bhujo Kanaka Vedato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishambaro Dvijavaro Yugadamapalo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Avataro Anapita Chirim Chirat Karuna avatina kalo samarpayitam anujvala rasam swabhakti shriyam Hari padata sundara dyuti kadamba sandipitaha sada hridaya kandare svaratuva sachinandanaha Utama adama kichuna bachila jachiya dile kakola kahe premananda emona goranga ridoya dariya bola vajja goranga kaha goranga laha goranga namore bolo vajja goranga Kaha goranga, laha goranga, namore Jejana goranga, vaje se hoya mara kanare Jejana goranga, vaje se hoya mara kanare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Yashaiva Padambu Jabhakti Labhya, Prema Vidana Parama Pumarta, Tasmai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madgavir Api Gopala Sri Kriya Kripaya Jari Tadaiva Sambhaya Pitva Rishi Yustat Priya Janaha Nilachala Nibhasaya Nityaya Paramatmane Balabhadra Subhadrabhyam Jagannathaya Te Namaha Kadachit Kalindita Tavipina Sangita Karavo Mudaviri Narivadana Kamalasvada Madhupa Rama Shambhu Brahma Madhapati Ganesh Archita Pado Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me Panchakopada Rubhischa Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So I need your help tonight.
if all of you are uncomfortable with me and you're sitting so far away I have to use binoculars, if I can tell if you're asleep or awake, it's going to be very hard for me. And probably nothing will come out. We'll just make a speech like a politician or something. But it won't be really Krishna Katha. So I promise I took a bath this morning. You can all come close. I probably even the ladies could come on this same carpet. I don't think any of the men will fall down or anything. Please come. Krishna Katha should be a very friendly thing. Please come. Come closer. You can pull your chairs up closer to me. I don't know why so many of you come here tonight. We feel very blessed to get your association. I was trying to figure out why so many devotees came, and I realized probably Prabhupada threatened all of you. You're going to get in big trouble if you didn't come or something, and out of fear of him, all of you came. I don't know why else you would come. But thank you very much for giving us some of your time on this most sacred Saturday weekend. Very special time for everybody. This is your free time. So this evening, we'd like to share something special with you. That's why we had to come a little close. We need to come close, and more than just physically, but close in terms of the heart. Because we want to speak something very astonishing. I had some good fortune to get some mercy from my revered spiritual master, Sri Srimad Gaurgovinda Swami Maharaj. And one of his favorite topics was to speak about the esoteric significance of Jagannath Puri Dham. And over the years, the more that we contemplated the things that he said, we found that many of the things were not conclusions in themselves, but they were more like signposts pointing, look this way, go this direction. And so in that spirit, we'd like to go on a little journey tonight. We'd like all of you to please leave your homes, leave your anxieties. Don't worry about your schoolwork. Don't worry about your girlfriends. Don't worry about your husbands or your children and they're not going to pass their exams. Don't worry about your bills. But just for maybe an hour and a half, you come with me. And we'd like to go on a Vaikuntha airplane. And we'd all like to go to two places at the same time. How do you go to two places at the same time? That's the subject matter of our discussion tonight. We'd like to go to Vrindavan. Because Raja Bhagavan Vraje Satanayas Tadama Vrindavan. That's our goal. Vrindavan is the goal for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But we're going to go in a particular door to Vrindavan. There are many different doors to Vrindavan. Some people, they may enter into the door where they worship Radha Krishna, but they worship him in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his book, Raghavartma Chandrika, he says, they enter into a Vaikuntha planet, which is like Vrindavan, but everything is full of opulence there. So that's one kind of door. And there's many, many other doors. But this evening, we'd like to take a journey to Jagannath Puri Dham. And we'd like to try to understand a very, very deep and important principle. We're worshipping the deities of Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra here. But is this really a Gaudiya Vaishnav practice? Because for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they have no interest in going anywhere where Srimati Radharani is not present. It's described by Srila Jan Chandra Goswami, the disciple of Gopal Guru Goswami. Dhinarada prasadena matpras Dhinarada prasadena Krishna praptirna jayate Tatashi radhika Krishna smarani yo susamyuto. If you don't have Radharani, you can't get Krishna. If you don't have Radharani, you can't get anything in this life. So here we are in this wonderful temple today of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And I'm going to ask a very uncomfortable question. I hope Prabhanu Prabhu doesn't get angry with me and tell me, don't come here again. Where's Radha? And someone say, does anybody see her there on the altar? You see her? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha? Something. Is everybody satisfied with that? Why is it that Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship Jagannath if there's no Radha? What is the mood of Gaudiya Vaishnavas toward Radha? I'll read you some very wonderful verses from Sri Raghunath Das Goswami in his Swaniyama Dasakam. These are his self-imposed vows, 10 vows that he swore I'll take. And he shared these vows with us to teach us what it means to be a Gaudiya Vaishnav. We should understand what it means to be a Gaudiya Vaishnav. It's not the same as a Sri Vaishnav or a Madhva Vaishnav. What is the speciality of our line? Raghunath Das Goswami describes. Anadrityo gitam api muni ganair gani kamukai pravinam gandharvam api chag nigamaistat priyatamam ya ekam govindam bhajati kapati dambikataya tad abhar jnane sinikshanam apinayami britam idam. He says, not even for one moment will I go near a hypocrite who worships Govinda but doesn't worship Radharani. He says, I don't want to see his face. That's my vow. So what are we doing here? I know you Gaudiya Vaishnavas. I meet many of you people. I live near Jagannath Puri the last 21 years. I've met so many Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and you all come and tell me, Jagannath is Vrindavan Bihari, Shyam Sundar, Yashoda Nandan. Okay. You want to tell me that? Kotai Radha. Where's Radha? And if Radha's not there, why are we doing that worship? This is a very important question. We wrote some article about this, and we examined this question and we gave some pramanas for it. And we'd like to share some of that with you tonight. I'm happy to say that after we printed this article, many scholars came to us and they were astonished. They said, nobody's even asked that question before, much less given an answer to it. I don't know how we gave some answer. By the mercy of our revered spiritual master, who gave us a signpost pointing in a direction. Raghunath Das Goswami, he says that Radharani, she's apparently not worshipped with Krishna. Raghunath doesn't say that, but even if Jagannath is Krishna, without Radharani's presence, Raghunath Das Goswami says, I don't want to go. Many Vaishnavas, they say correctly that Jagannath is Dwarkadish Krishna. And this is Rath Yatra. We take Krishna from Dwarka to Gundicha, from Neelachal to Sundarachal, from Sri Mandir to the Gundicha Mandir. That Sri Mandir represents Dwarka, and the Gundicha Mandir represents Vrindavan. But why are we worshipping Jagannath without Radha? Raghunath Das Goswami describes, Sada Radha Krishna Chalat Atula Kela Stala Yugam Brajam Santyad Yaitad Yuga Virahito Pitutim Api Punadwara Vatyam Yadupatim Api Prodha Vibhavai Sparantam Tadvacha Pichanahi Chalamikshitum Api. He says, even if I suffer so much separation from the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. I won't even for one moment leave Braj. And even if somehow Krishna leaves Braj, and Krishna goes to Dwarka and he sends me an email. Hey, come, I want you to come immediately. He says, I won't go. Gatom madai radha spurati harina shlishtaridaya sputam dwara vachyam iti yadi shrinomi shutitate tadaham tatraivo dattam atipatami brajapurat samudhiya swanta dika gati kagendrad apijavat. He says, but if somehow I get some news that Srimati Radharani became mad or something, I don't know what happened, and she went to Dwarka. And Krishna's maybe not there, but somehow Radharani went there. And Radharani's not sending me any email, she's not requesting me to come. With no invitation, with no request to go, immediately I'm going to fly to Dwarka to be with Radharani. This is the mood of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Vina Radha Prasadena Krishna Praptir Najayate. Without the mercy of Radharani, without the presence of Radharani, we can't get Krishna. So, where's Radha in this case? And if there's no Radha, how is this a Gaudiya Vaishnava temple? You may say that Mahaprabhu, Radha is there, we accept that. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, Nahi, Anya. He's a combined form of Radha and Krishna. Radharani is there in that sense, but he's on a lower step. We want to see Krishna with Radha on the higher step. Here in this temple, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a subordinate role because that's what he liked. He liked to worship Lord Jagannath. So, I feel a little confused. It's a very, very big, wonderful subject matter. Please, open your hearts and your ears tonight and drink some of this. And let's go very deep into this subject matter. There's a special connection between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath. In his Chaitanya Mangal, in the Sesha Kanda, Srila Lochamdas Thakur, he quotes a significant verse from the Vayu Purana. Kale Pratama Sanyayam Lakshmi Kando Bhavishyati Daru Brahma Sami Pandaha Sanyaso Gura Vigraha. Interesting verse. In the beginning of Kali Yuga, Lord Narayan will appear on the earth in a golden form. He'll take sannyas. And Daru Brahma Samipanta. He'll go to Jagannath Puri and he'll worship Daru Brahma Jagannath. In the Vayu Purana, this is described. There's such a special connection between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath. But why Jagannath? We're reading these verses from Raghunath Das Goswami. We're trying to understand his mood. His mood is to follow the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's a Rupanuga. We're all Rupanugas, following Rupanuga Prabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam. What does it mean to be a Rupanuga? We're following the mood of Rupa Goswami. What has he done? Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishta Stapitam Yena Bhutale. He knows the inner mind, the inner heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's established that. Raghunath Das Goswami is Tulsi Manjari. He's an assistant of Rupa Manjari, who in Gaura Leela has come as Rupa Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami understands the mind and heart of Rupa Goswami and of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's described to us the mood of a Gaudiya Vaishnava. Who was the Ishtadev of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? If For those of you who don't know that phrase, an Easter day is your most worshipable Lord. Who can say? Nobody knows. Maybe nobody's interested. I don't know. Isn't it an important thing to think about? Who was it that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was worshipping? Shame on you. You should think about this. I did some research on this subject. We went through, maybe 6 or 8 different biographies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see about which deities he was worshipping. And we found, maybe 50 or 100 descriptions of Mahaprabhu having darshan of Tota Gopinath. Tota Gopinath is very important. We found a few descriptions of Mahaprabhu having darshan of other deities. In Sri Rangam, he went to Lord Ranganath and Lord Varaha, and different deities here and there. One or two mentions are there. But there are over 1,000 mentions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu having darshan of Jagannath. And in Chaitanya Mangal, Lochan Das Thakur describes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going 3 times a day to have darshan of Jagannath. Does anyone know any description of any other deity that Mahaprabhu was going to see 3 times a day? I don't know of any other description of any other deity, including even Tota Gopinath, that Mahaprabhu was going to see 3 times a day. Obviously, there's a special connection. Have any of you been to Sri Rangam? Raise your hand. And you've been to the Jagannath Mandir in Sri Rangam? Just behind the Sri Rangam temple, there's a special temple, Gaudiya Vaishnava temple, and you'll see on the wall, in Tamil language, I think it is, there are 8 verses. Sanskrit verses. The first verse begins, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhavamaha Devagni Nivapan. Have you heard of these verses before? The Shikshashtakam is there. In Sri Rangam, the place of the Sri Vaishnavas. And there's a Jagannath Mandir there. In that Jagannath Mandir, there are very special deities. They say that those deities were directly made by the hand of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We printed a photo of those deities in this magazine. Do we have 2 copies of this? Okay, only 1. So I just have to show you a little picture. Maybe you can try to see. Maybe we'll pass this magazine around a little later and you can look more carefully. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sri Rangam and he was having darshan with a very ancient deity of Lord Ranganath. They say, everybody says this in different places, but they say that Ranganath was the first deity on this planet. In Puri they say it was Jagannath. In Tirupati they say something else. Everybody, depending on where you go, they have their particular bhav. But it's a very special deity, very important deity. But while he was there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made deities of Jagannath with his own hands. He was missing Jagannath. He didn't make deities of Radha Krishna. He made deities of Jagannath. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Why? This is a very, very wonderful question. And a very, very important subject. We should understand something about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He's Krishna Swarup, but Radha Bhava Dyuti, the mood and the complexion of Srimati Radharani are predominant in him. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kiddhi Sovanayaiva Swadyo Yena Bhuta Madhuri Makiddhi Sovanayaiva Swadyo Yena Bhuta Madhuri Kiddhi Sovanayaiva Sokyam Chashimanana Bhavani Kiddhi Sambhiti Lobat Tadbhavaja Samajani Satchigarva Sindhu Harindu. He came for 3 reasons. He's Krishna. But he came to taste the Radha Pranaya Mahima. Kidriso, he wanted to know what is the glory of her love. Sokyam Chashyamanana Bhavati Kidrisam. He wanted to know what happiness does she get and what is it that she sees in me that she gets so much happiness from. These are his 3 reasons for coming. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says these 3 desires were not fulfilled in Mayapur, Navadvipa. I had a big dispute with Ayendra Prabhu because I told them those 3 desires weren't fulfilled in Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan. They weren't fulfilled there either. And therefore he left Vrindavan. We spoke about this a few days ago in Durban. I won't go in that direction again. If you're really eager, you can hear a recording of it or something. It's a big subject matter. He went to Jagannath Puri. And there in Jagannath Puri, in the Gambira, Kashi Mishra Bhavan, Krishnadas Kavraj Goswami says, those three desires were fulfilled. So, we spoke about this the other night, and we gave some explanation, because actually, yatra vrindavanam nasti, yatra no govardhan nasti, yatra no jamana nadi, tatra minamana sukh. Radharani says, I'm not happy. Garga Samhita says, I'm not happy where three things are not present. The Vrindavan forest, Govardhan hill, and the Jamuna river. But our acharyas have described those three things are present in Jagannath Puri Dham. Srila Sanatana Goswami describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Chakre sa Govardhana brinda katavi kalinda jatira bhuvi svayamayam. In Jagannath Puri Dham, you'll find three things. The Vrindavan forest, the Jamuna river, and Govardhan hill. The Purusha Bodhani Shruti of the Atharva Veda describes, Yatya Bhargavi Jamuna Govardhana Ratna Samasanam Bhimala Sadosa Chandika Sadosa Gopyaha. That the Bhargavi river is not different from the Jamuna. If you go to the Bhargavi river, there's a place called Chandanpur. Right near Chandanpur, there's a Dandabhanga Stali, a very special place. And near to Dandabhanga, there's another place, there's an ancient deity of Lord Shiva who's mentioned in the Skanda Purana. His name is Kaputeshwar Mahadev. And the Skanda Purana says that Lord Shiva went there and he sat down and started doing meditation there, and he saw suddenly, hey, this is Vrindavan. He saw all the animals and trees and forests of Vrindavan. You realize that Jagannath Puri Dham is Vrindavan. And Purusha Bodhani Shruti says, Yatya Bhargavi Jamuna, that Bhargavi river is non-different from the Jamuna. Govardhana, Ratna, Samasana. Someone was asking me about this the other night, last night I think, maybe Prabhanu Prabhu, that the Ratna Asan, the jeweled throne of Lord Jagannath, some say it's made out of Shalagram Shilas. They say over 1 million Shalagram Shilas. And some Vaishnavas say the Shalagram Shila is on the ground before you come to the altar there. So it's a very dangerous thing to go too close to the altar there. That altar, Govardhana Ratna Samasana, is non-different from Govardhan Hill. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Krishnadas Kavraj Goswami have described that Chatak Parvat, that sand dune where Purushottam Mat is, where the temple Srila Bhaktisiddhanta established in Puri, near to Tota Gopinath. That place is also non-different from Govardhan Hill. So then some of you may say, but where are the gopis? We want gopis. We were mentioning in Durban the other night, Prabhupada sold the editors of the BTG magazine. Better you don't speak about the confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He said, Prabhupada then paused for a moment. He said, but don't boycott the gopis. We want gopis. So where are the gopis then in Jagannath Puri? Bhimala sadosa chandika sadosa gopyaha. Purusha Bodhani Shruti says that there are 16 chandis in Jagannath Puri headed by goddess Bhimala Devi. And those 16 chandis are non-different from the 16 gopis of Braj. Who are those 16 gopis? The Astasakis and the Astamanjaris. In his Gorgavinda Smarna Archana Padati, Jan Chandra Goswami, he's described that when Krishna is Purnatama, when he's fully complete, he's present with 16 Shaktis. When he's Purnatara, more complete, but not as complete as Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, he has 16 Shaktis. When he's a little less complete, he's Purnatara. In Mathura, he has 15 Shaktis. And in Dwarka, where he's Purna, a little less again, he has 14 Shaktis. And in Jagannath Puri Dham, Purusha Bodhani Shruti, and the Atharva Veda, says the Lord has 16 Shaktis. And therefore, the Vaishnava Tantra describes, Mathura Dvaraka Leela Yakaroti Chagokule Nilachalastita Krishna Staeva Rachati Prabhu. Whatever pastimes you may find in Gokul Vrindavan, in Mathura, and in Dwarka. Nilachalastita Krishna staeva rachati Prabhu. All those pastimes take place in Jagannath Puri Dham. It's Gupta Vrindavan. Okay, so this is our introduction tonight. Now we'd like to go a little bit deeper into things. How is it that we find Radharani in Jagannath Puri Dham in Orissa? There's an interesting history in this regard. Before the last part of the 16th century, there was no worship in Braj Bhumi of the deity of Radharani. You know that? There was no worship. But there was worship of Radharani in Orissa. That we're speaking historically. I'm not talking about Nitya Vrindavan and Krishna Leela. Of course, Radharani's worship at that time. But in the history of this material world, we don't find worship of Radharani in Braj until about the last part of the 16th century. But prior to that, there was worship of Radha in Orissa. Rupa Goswami has written a very wonderful book called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is an ocean of all the different rasas, and he describes the mellows of devotion. But when he finished that book, he said, we didn't exactly say everything. There's something more that needs to be said. So he wrote another book called Ujjvala Neelamani. And Ujjvala Neelamani speaks about the Bhav of the Gopis and Srimati Radharani. And in the beginning of Ujjvala Neelamani, he quotes a verse from Purusha Bodhani Shruti of the Atharva Veda. That Purusha Bodhani Shruti is a very rare literature. Traditionally, literatures or Vedic teachings were not written down. They were handed down from guru to disciple. And you may have someone who's a Chaturvedi who's memorized all four Vedas, or Triveda, they've memorized three Vedas, or Dvivedi, or Veda, someone who's memorized two Vedas, or one Veda. Nowadays, these names don't really have much meaning. People just use them as surnames. But traditionally, it meant someone who'd actually studied the four Vedas if they were Chaturvedi. And those Vedas were not written down. They were passed on through oral tradition. And you'll find different Vedic literatures in different parts of India. Near to Raimuna, there's a tradition of the Purusha Bodhani Shruti. And to this day, there's an oral tradition of this literature. And this Purusha Bodhani Shruti, we quoted something here from it about Jagannath, but it also speaks about Radharani. And Rupa Goswami compiled his Ujjvala Neelamani. He begins with a verse from the same literature, establishing the superiority of Srimati Radharani. That came from Orissa. To this day, if you go to West Bengal, there's any Bengalis here? Okay, good. Nobody get offended with me. In West Bengal, they don't worship Radharani so much. But Durga Puja is a very, very big thing. Throughout West Bengal, Durga Puja is observed. But in Orissa, Radhastami is observed. It's an official government holiday. To this day, everybody observes Radhastami. And there are many Stala Puranas, many local literatures in Orissa speaking about the glories of Srimati Radharani. In the Bhakti Ratnakar, it describes that there was no deity of Radharani being worshipped with Govindaji, the deity established by Rupa Goswami, or Madan Mohan, the deity established by Sanatana Goswami. She was being worshipped with them, but it was done mentally with some mantra. They weren't physical. There was no deity. So this morning in our class in Durban, we spoke something about Maharaj Purushottam Dev, who was the father of Maharaj Prataparudra. And Maharaj Prataparudra, we told the story of how he married Padmavati, the daughter of Salo Narasingha, the king of Kanchi. It's another story, but we'll build on that a little bit. So they had a very... Maharaj Purushottam Dev married Padmavati, and their child was Maharaj Prataparudra. And Maharaj Prataparudra, he had a son whose name was Purushottam Jana. And that Purushottam Jana is also a very important king in Puri, and a very important king in our Gaudiya Vaishnav line. He's described in the Bhakti Ratnakar by Srila Narahari Chakravarti, a very important book in our line, Bengali book, which is nearly 500 years old. Was printed by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati and quoted extensively by him. Srila Prabhupada also quotes it quite often. And he tells a story there that this Maharaj Purushottam Jana, he heard that there was no deity of Radharani being worshipped with Govindaji and Madan Mohan. So from Jagannath Puri, he sent two deities of Radharani from Orissa to Braj to be worshipped. And when they arrived, everyone was having a big festival. They were very happy. And then at that time, Madan Mohan came in a dream to the Pujari and he told him, excuse me, there are not two deities of Radha. The big deity is actually Lalita. And the other deity is Radha. And you should give both of them to me. And Govindaji doesn't get anything. So they did like that. They installed the little deity of Radha on his left side, and the larger one is Lalita. They installed on the right side of Madan Mohan. And if you go today, you can still see those original deities, which were sent from Orissa by Maharaj Purushottam Jana. So when Maharaj Purushottam Jana heard about this, he became a little unhappy because he wanted very much to have a deity of Radharani with Govindaji. So our story now goes back many generations earlier. In Cuttack traditionally was the place of the kings of Puri. And in Cuttack, there is a neighborhood called Krishnanagar, very ancient area. And in Krishnanagar, there's a sub-district called Radhanagar. And there happened to be one Brahmin who was living there, and his name was Brishabhanu. And Brishabhanu, true to his name, he got a deity of Radharani, and he was worshipping. So this was maybe 100 or more years before the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he had that deity of Radharani in his home, and he was worshipping that deity like his own daughter. The king of Puri, we don't know who his name was at that time, the king of Puri, one day he came to the house of that Brahmin, Brishabhanu, and he saw the deity of Radharani. Oh, so nice. And he went back to his palace in Kurda. And that night, the deity of Radha came to him in a dream. And she said, I want to be worshipped at the Chakrabeda, by the Chakrabeda, by the boundary wall, inside the Jagannath Mandir. You please bring me there. So the king was very happy. So he brought that deity of Radharani inside the Jagannath Mandir and established a small temple of her there, and she was being worshipped. But over many generations of time, everyone forgot that it was Radharani. And they started worshipping the deity as Lakshmi Devi. So meanwhile, now we're going ahead another 100 years or so, back to Maharaj Purushottam Jana, and we heard about how he had sent two deities of Radha to Braj, but actually one of them turned out to be Lalita. And the deities went to Madan Mohan, and then Govindaji had no deity. So Maharaj Purushottam Jana was feeling very sad. And that night he had a dream. And a deity of Lakshmi, who he thought was Lakshmi, that deity by the Chakrabeda wall, came to him and said, hey, I'm not Lakshmi. I'm Radharani. And I want to go to Vrindavan. I want to be worshipped with Govindaji. So he was very, very happy. And he sent Radharani there. And Radharani was installed with Govindaji. And then later when the Mughal invasion occurred, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan and other Vrindavan deities were taken by the king of Rajasthan to his fort in Ambar near to Jaipur. And then later, the time of King Jai Shring II, he decided to move those deities temporarily to a place called Gultagadi. Have any of you here been to Gultagadi before? We went a few years ago. It's a very special place for me because it's a long story, but I recently, many years ago, actually went to Puri Marsh later on. Someone gave me three Shaligram Shivas from Gultagadi, which had been worshipped in Satya Yuga by one rishi there named Gauta Rishi. It's a long story. And how they came to us and how they went to Puri Marsh is a very special place. But it's a place of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And because the Mughal invasion had come, that place is very protected. It's a very interesting place to go to if you go to Jaipur. I highly recommend you go to Gauta. It's not far from the center of the city. And you'll go up a very steep hill, and then going down the hill, it goes into a deep valley, and the king of Jaipur had built a palace there. And he would worship Govindaji there for some time. But there are many Sri Vaishnavas there, and they protested, "What are you doing? Worshipping Radharani with Govindaji? This is not right. Where is Radharani mentioned?" Has anybody gotten our email magazine today? We have a magazine called Sri Krishna Kathamrita Bindu. Please read that. There's a very, very important and special article in there. It's a verse taken from a literature by a devotee named Vedanta Deshika. And Vedanta Deshika is one of the prominent acharyas in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Little technical thing, he's in charge of the Vadakalite. There's two divisions in the Sri Sampradaya, the Vadakalites and the Tankalites, headed by Vedanta Deshika and Manavalama Muni. And Vedanta Deshika, he's in charge of the Vadakalites. So some Sri Vaishnavas to this day, they don't accept Radharani. But some of our associates were doing some research in some of Vedanta Deshika's literature, and they found mention about Srimati Radharani. And we printed that, we translated that and printed that in our recent Bindu magazine. It's very important. At the time of King Jaishring II, the Sri Vaishnavas, they challenged the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. They said, "This is not bona fide worshipping Radharani, and you're giving more respect to her than Lakshmi Devi? Very bad. We don't accept this. Can you prove it?" So, you may know then, Baladeva Dibhushan came, and he compiled the Govinda Bhasha. He heard from Govindaji. Govindaji told him this commentary. But where did Baladeva Dibhushan come from? Baladeva Dibhushan came from Remuna. He's also from Orissa. He was a qualified person because in that part of Orissa, they know about the worship of Radharani. The Purusha Bodhani Shruti, there's a tradition there. And Baladeva Dibhushan was coming from those Brahmin families. So the worship of Radharani in our sampradaya is very, very closely connected with Orissa and Jagannath Puri. So this is the second part of our introduction. Now let's go a little further. Where is Radharani with Jagannath? It's very important to Gaudiya Vaishnavas. At the end of his life, it's said that Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he was very ill. He was getting ready to leave his body at any time. And he requested the devotees, "Now I want you to take me on a horse to Kurukshetra because I want to leave my body in Kurukshetra." Does that sound nice? Does that sound appropriate? But would you like to go to Kurukshetra to leave your body? If you had your choice of any place in the world, would it be Kurukshetra? He says, "No." But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "Yes." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told this story. He said that some people were thinking, "Kurukshetra? Don't you want to go to Radhakund? Don't you want to go to Govardhan, Vamsivat, Braj? What does he want to go to Kurukshetra for?" And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "They're virus-seek. They don't understand rasa." Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was really rasa-seek. He wanted to go to Kurukshetra because he understood that Srimati Radharani had gone to Kurukshetra. And the need of Radharani was the greatest in Kurukshetra. And wherever the need is the greatest, that service is the most appreciated. In Kurukshetra, there's no Vamsivat, there's no Jamuna, there's no Govardhan Hill, there's no Vrindavan Forest. Radharani needs some help. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very eager to go there. So that Kurukshetra, the mood of Kurukshetra, we find in Jagannath Puri Dham. Some Vaishnavas, they say, "We don't want to go to Jagannath Puri because there's no Radharani there." But I say, on the strength of this statement from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, they're virus-seek. They don't understand real rasa. My Guru Maharaj, he said that this is Sri Khetra. Jagannath Puri Dham is called Sri Khetra. What is the meaning of Sri Khetra? Sarva Angsini Radhika. It means the place of Srimati Radharani. But in Kurukshetra, her need is the greatest. Someone was asking us last night, Prabhuji, that do we want to worship Radharani in the mood of separation? No. We don't want to worship her like that. We want to assist her at that time. We want to go running there. Like Bhaktivinoda wanted to go running to Kurukshetra because her need was the greatest. That service is the most appreciated. Our mood in Gaudiya Vaishnavism is not just worship, but our mood is service. And our mood, Rupa Goswami in Ujjala Nilamani describes it as Bhava Lasarati. This is a very high thing. I'm just putting this word before you. You can't really understand. Bhava Lasarati means when someone has equal or greater devotion to Radharani than they do to Krishna. Our devotion is greater to Radha than it is to Krishna. And we're not just waving some incense and singing some songs. But we want to worship Radha and Krishna by bringing them together. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he once said that the supreme activity of Gaudiya Vaishnavas is to help ease the pangs of separation of the residents of Vrindavan. This is our supreme activity. This is Rath Yatra. This is the mood of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Jagannath Puri Dham, where they're feeling separation. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wanted to go to Kurukshetra, which is the same mood that we find in Jagannath Puri Dham. But why is it that our acharyas want to go to Puri? Why is it they worship Jagannath? Radharani's not there. Where is Radha? We don't see Radha. She's not there. Or is she? You should learn the Jagannath Ashtakam. I would have a humble suggestion that at least once a week, Prabhuji, the program or something, you make some papers or a big board or something, and you recite Jagannath Ashtakam. It's a very, very wonderful prayer, and Jagannath will get so much pleasure from it, and devotees will get so many blessings. So in the sixth verse of Jagannath Ashtakam, it's described, Para Brahma Pira Kuvalaya Dulot Pula Nayano Nibasi Nilado Nahita Charano Nanda Sirasi. Listen carefully. Rasanandi Radha Sarasavapur Alingana Sukho Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatume. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatume. Parabrahma Pida Kuvalaya Dulot Phula Nayano. We should try to learn some Sanskrit. My Guru Maharaj told us, and I'm a very guilty person, I know little Sanskrit, maybe a little more Bengali. But unless we understand properly these languages, it's very difficult really to understand deep Siddhanta. Example is here. Para Brahma Pida Kuvalaya Dulot Phula Nayano. One translator has given a translation is that Lord Jagannath is putting his feet on the head of Lord Brahma. Pare Brahma Pida. This is his translation of it. Very strange translation, doesn't really make any sense. We've never heard anything like that. But a proper understanding is Pare Brahma Pida Kuvalaya Dulot Phula Nayano, that Lord Jagannath is Param Brahma, that he's the last limit of the absolute. Dulot Phula Nayano, he has fully blossoming eyes. You see his fully blossoming eyes? He's named Chakadola, he has big round eyes. So he's the last limit of Brahman. This is a better translation, and we'll explain this in a few minutes. Para Brahma Pira Kovalya Dulot Fulanayana Nibasini Lato Nihita Charananta Surasi. He's always staying in Jagannath Puri Dham. And his lotus feet are placed on the head of Ananta Dev. Charano Ananta Surasi. And then the important line. Rasanandi Radha Sarasa Vapur Alingana Sukho. Alingana means to embrace. Sukho, he gets so much happiness from embracing Lord Jagannath, from embracing Srimati Radharani. Rasanandi Radha Sarasa Vapur Alingana Sukho. Raise your hand. Are there any of you here who worship Lord Jagannath at home or here at the temple? Any pujari here? Anyone? Raise your hand. Any Jagannath pujaris? Okay. So, all of you, you've seen Jagannath without clothes, I think. I used to dress Jagannath in Bhubaneswar. That was the first service my Guru Maharaj gave me when we went there. So, you've seen Jagannath. So, here it says, Rasanandi Radha, Sadasavapura Lingana Sukhi. He's always embracing Radha Guru's chest. Have you seen Radha there? Prabhuji, have you seen Radha embrace to his chest? Mataji, have you seen? Prabhanu Prabhu, have you seen Radha embrace to his chest? No. So maybe there's some mistake in the translation here. Maybe we should cut out this line. It doesn't mean anything, just some poetic thing. We did a lot of research on this subject matter. This next year, 2015, is going to be a special Rath Yatra. They'll have maybe 10 times more people than usual, because this Rath Yatra will be the Navakalavram festival, when Lord Jagannath gets a new body. The last Navakalavram festival took place in 1996. The previous one was in 1977. And it's a very, very complex subject matter. We mentioned something about it to one devotee last night. It's a whole another talk that would take us an hour or so to describe how that Navakalavram takes place. It's a very complicated thing. We have to say something about it. They go to the goddess of Kakatua, the one deity of Durga Devi, some of the head priests, and they stay there for a few days until they have a dream. The head priest has to have a dream, and goddess Durga comes to him and tells him where the tree is to be found. That's going to become the deity of Jagannath. And then, they don't go there yet, they check the Muddle of Punji, the Stala Puran and Jagannath Puri, because there's a list that said in the Muddle of Punji of all the places where these darus, these trees, that will become the deity of Jagannath, where they're to be found for thousands of years in the future. So then they check in that book, and if it's the same place, then they'll go. And then once they go there, the tree has to be very specific. First of all, there has to be a mountain nearby, there has to be a lake, there has to be a Shiva temple, there has to be a crematorium, there has to be an anthill, there has to be a cobra living at the base of the tree, there has to be a neem tree growing right next to it, there has to be an ashwata tree, several special trees have to be there. And if all those things aren't there, they won't accept it. Then the tree itself, if it only has two branches, they won't accept it. If it has five or six or eight branches, they won't accept it. It has to have only four branches. And on those branches, there has to be some symbols of the Shankachakra Gadapadma, the four symbols of Lord Vishnu. I went to the tree in 1996. It wasn't so far from Bhubaneswar, maybe an hour drive away. And you could see those symbols on there. So after they pick that tree, then one Panda comes with a gold axe. It's about as big as a toothpick. And they touch the gold axe to the tree. And then another Panda comes with a silver axe. It's also about as big as a toothpick. And he touches it there. And then another Panda comes with a big iron axe. And he cuts the tree down. After the tree is cut down, then they cut off all the branches, they cut off all the bark, they do an abhishek. And then after the abhishek ceremony, they do Purusha Shukta, abhishek for the tree of Lord Jagannath. After they do that abhishek, comes a very important, Jai Jagannath Baladi Subhadra, comes a very important and very secret ceremony. It's called Shodha Nyasa. Nyasa, traditionally, the Nyasa mantra is a mantra which they use to establish the deity. Because the deity is made out of some material element, maybe made out of brass, maybe made out of mud, maybe made out of wood. How does that deity become Krishna? How does he become Jagannath? How does he become Radharani, Hanuman, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, etc.? There's some Shodha Nyasa mantra chanted. So we found out the Shodha Nyasa mantra that they use for that daro which becomes Lord Jagannath. It's a very difficult thing. It's very, practically none of the pundits, only the head priest, knows this mantra. It's a very secret mantra. That mantra is very important because that mantra is the mantra which gives the identity to the deity. It's kind of like telling someone, this is who you are. Oh, okay, that's me. All right, I'll accept worship in that mode. So what is the Shodha Nyasa mantra of Lord Jagannath? Would you like to know? Anybody is interested? Smirasyam kum kum abham spurara darapata pranta klipavagutam Ramyam vesena veni kritta chikura Shikalambi Padmam Kishorim Tajanyangusta Yukta Harimukha Kamale Unjatim Nagavali Pranam Karnyak Takshim Tribhuvanaruchiram Radhikam Bayavayami. It's a Radha mantra. They chant this mantra 16 times on the Daru, on that log, which is going to become Jagannath. This is the identification. It's a mantra glorifying Radharani. I meditate on Radha, who is the most beautiful girl in the three worlds. She has a smile on her face, and her complexion is the color of kumkum. Her veil is made with a border of her splendid lower cloth. Her dress is delightful, and a lotus hangs at the end of her braid. She appears wonderful in her fresh youth, and her eyes extend to her ears with her thumb and index finger. She's placing a betel leaf in the lotus mouth of Lord Hari. Now, this is a very interesting thing. I thought Jagannath was Krishna. But now we're hearing that in this Sodanyasa mantra, it's a mantra of Radha. And we're hearing in Jagannath Ashtakam, Rasanandi Radha Sadasavapuralingana Sukho, that Jagannath is embracing Radharani to his chest. What does it mean? We found out yet another very secret thing about Lord Jagannath. Has anybody here put the deities to rest at night? Raise your hand. Who does that service sometimes? You do. Very good. It's a nice service. Very sweet service. I used to do that with Jagannath also. And sometimes they have a bed for Jagannath here? Yes? In Jagannath Puri, it would be very difficult to have a bed for Jagannath. And he's about 8 feet high, a very, very big deity. It would take many, many men to carry him. How are you going to put him in a bed? We found out there's another deity. The deity is called the Shayana Vigraha, or the deity who sleeps. That's his purpose. Some of the brahmacharis might like that very much. You just sleep, be a deity of sleep. Very good, nice service. I can just sleep all day long. Huh? That deity is also known as Arda Nadi Ishvara or Arda Lakshmi Hari. The deity is a very fascinating deity. The deity is only about as big as my thumb. The deity is made out of solid gold. The deity has 8 arms. 4 of the arms are Lord Narayan, and 4 of the arms are Lakshmi Devi. The deity is half feminine and half male. He's Arda Nari Ishvara. Half Nari, half Lakshmi Devi, and half Ishvara, half Lord Vishnu. This is a very, very interesting thing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a combined form. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. And my Guru Maharaj told a story about this. Now, I don't want you to get angry with me because this is your sacred Saturday when you finally have a day off from work and you have this crazy Hare Krishna guy telling you all these long stories and things. If you get angry with me, it'd be very bad for me. So there's another story I'd like to tell. But I don't know if all of you are patient enough to hear that. Maybe we should stop now. Should we tell this other story or not? How many? Raise your hand if you'd like to hear this story. Okay. This is a very special story for me. Some of you may know this story. It appears in the book Embankment of Separation. It's a very mysterious story, a very rare story, which very few sadhus know about. To my knowledge, the first time this story was ever spoken in English was in 1994 in Los Angeles from my Guru Maharaj. And I had the good fortune to be there at that time. First time it was ever spoken in English in the West. And then I was traveling with him as his servant. After that he went to Bhubaneswar and he spoke it again there. And then he went from Bhubaneswar, he went to Europe and he was traveling. And when he was in England, he spoke the story a third time. And somehow I had the good fortune to be there all three of those times. This is the same story that he spoke when he left this world. He was in Mayapur On the day of Shiva Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance, a few days before that, he told some devotees privately that, "I'm feeling very disgusted. And just as Shiva Bhaktisiddhanta left this world early, I'm also thinking to leave early." And then Gaurgavinda Maharaj, he went to Gadagiri. He told the devotee that, "I'll go to Gadagiri and see what Gopal says." Gopal was his family deity, who had been in their family for over 350 years. Gopal came from Vrindavan to hear the kirtan of the Giri family there. Our Guru Maharaj's family is very famous for kirtan. And so he went to Gadagiri, and we don't know what happened there. But while he was there, he spoke to his cousin and brother, Ghanashyam Giri. And he told Ghanashyam Giri, "We're making a new temple here. Now this has become an ISKCON project." And he told Ghanashyam, "You'll see the opening of the temple, but I won't." And Ghanashyam said, "What are you talking about? I'm older than you." And Guru Maharaj said, "Anyway, you'll see it, because Gopal is very pleased with you, because you donated the temple to ISKCON. But I won't see it." And so then he came back to Bhubaneswar, and he signed his bank account over to the temple president. Prabhupada put him in charge in Orissa. He had an account ever since he went there in 1974. And he'd never signed that over. But that day he signed it over to the temple president. A few days later he went to Mayapur. And he attended the GBC meetings there. And after the second or third day, the meetings, there were a couple of devotees who wanted to speak to him privately. And they came to him with a question. "Maharaj, what is so special about Jagannath Puri? Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu go to Puri and not Vrindavan?" And then our Guru Maharaj told this story. And as he was telling this story, something happened to him. Yeah, some tears came to his eyes and his voice became choked up. And he told the devotees, "I'm sorry, I can't speak anymore." And he left, they left. And then he asked for a picture of Gopal. He told the devotees to do kirtan. He was looking at the picture and he said, "Gopal." And he closed his eyes. And he never opened his eyes again. And Bhakta Rupa Prabhu, who's our dear friend, he was there in the room. He ran to get one Ayurvedic doctor. His name was Damodar Swarup, a friend of mine. Damodar Swarup has a PhD in Ayurvedic medicine. And Damodar Swarup came back and he said, "Something's happened to Maharaj, you have to come." Damodar Swarup came and he took his pulse. And by the science of Ayurveda, by the pulse, someone can understand the condition of the patient. And he said that when he took his pulse, he was still present. And he said there was nothing wrong with him. There was absolutely nothing wrong with him by his pulse. And the devotees, they were very frightened. They wanted to take him to the hospital. And he said, no, you leave him here in Mayapur right now. And a few minutes later, the devotees were doing kirtan. He took his pulse again. And he left his body. Damodar Swarup Prabhu told me that he said, "I've never seen a death like this." He said, "I've been an Ayurvedic doctor my whole life. I've seen many deaths. I've never seen a death like this." He said he had all the symptoms of astasatvikara bhav, the divine ecstasy on his body. And those divine ecstasy, the last of those symptoms is called mrityu, or death, when someone leaves their body. He said there was nothing physically wrong with him. I was there in Mayapur at that time. I had spoken to him just an hour before and he was in perfect health. There was absolutely nothing wrong. So he became very ecstatic telling this story. And I'd like to tell you this story again tonight also, a very special story. Krishna left Vrindavan. And he told the gopis when he left, "Ayasya, ayasya, I'm going to return." Those words of Krishna were like a bolt which kept the life air in the body of the gopis. The hope that Krishna was going to return. Without that hope, the gopis would have died. They were suffering in so much separation from Krishna. Is that separation only one-sided? It's two-sided. Krishna says, "Yeyatamam prapadyante. Tam sataiva bhajamyam." I always reciprocate with my devotee accordingly. The gopis and the brijbasis were crying in separation from Krishna and Vrindavan. And meanwhile in Dwarka, Krishna was also crying in separation from them. Rukmini, she called some of the different queens together one day and she said, I don't know what's happening. What's happened to our husband? He's become mad. Sometimes in the middle of the night, he's laying next to me in the bed and he starts calling out, Gopi, Gopi, Radhe, Radhe. I don't know who is this Gopi, Gopi, Radhe, Radhe. What is this? And sometimes he starts pulling on my cloth and he says, Chandravali, why, why? And sometimes he says, Radha, Radha, where are you? And he starts crying. And his pillow becomes soaking wet with his tears. Krishna is also feeling separation from the gopis in Dwarka. One day, those feelings of separation became so intense that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradhya Govinda Sarva Karna Karnam, that Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes, the Supreme Controller, the Creator and the Destroyer of everything, he fell to the ground unconscious in ecstasy of separation from the gopis. Word very quickly spread throughout Dwarka. Something happened to Krishna. And some of the senior devotees in Dwarka, they gathered together around Krishna while he's lying there on the ground, unconscious, and began speaking amongst themselves, what should we do? Present there was Balaram, Subhadra, Narad Muni, and Uddhava, these four devotees. And they were saying, what should we do? Narad Muni spoke, he said, I know the medicine. He's feeling separation from Braj. If I play some Leela Kahani, some Braj Leela Kahani, some pastimes of Braj on my Veena and sing about this, then Krishna will definitely regain external consciousness. Everyone said, very good. You do that, Narad Muni. Narad Muni said, but you don't understand. If that happens, then Krishna is immediately going to want to go to Vrindavan. I said, okay. So we'll call for Krishna's chariot. We'll call for Daruka. Daruka is Krishna's chariot driver. And we can take him to Vrindavan. Narad Muni said, that's not the problem. The problem will come when he arrives in Vrindavan. Because the situation of the Brijbasis in separation from Krishna is so sad. It's so terrible. If Krishna goes there and sees them in that situation, I can't say what will happen to him. They're dying in separation from Krishna. So everyone agreed, yes, we have to do something. He said, we'll send a messenger ahead. We'll send someone with a message that Krishna's coming. And then they'll get their life back so that when Krishna arrives, everything will be okay. Who should we send? They said, Uddhava, you're Krishna's messenger. Previously from Mathura, Krishna sent you with a message of love to the Brijbasis. You should go. Uddhava was quiet for a moment. And he hung his head down. He said, I can't go. Previously, Krishna sent me. And I went there. And I told Nanda and Yashoda, don't cry. It's okay. Huh? He said, usually, we tell people, don't cry. But in the case of Nanda and Yashoda, I felt like telling them, cry more, cry more. Usually, we speak some philosophy to pacify someone. But when I went to Vrindavan and tried to speak philosophy to them, it didn't work. So I'm a disciple of Brihaspati. Uddhava, he's a Brihaspati Sishya. He knows Siddhanta. I started speaking Siddhanta to them. I told them, don't cry. Krishna's not actually your son. He's Bhagavan. He's God. He's everywhere. How can you lose him? Nanda Maharaj became very angry with me. Uddhava, what kind of nonsense are you speaking? My Gopal is Bhagavan. I know Bhagavan. I know Narayan. Narayan is Bhagavan. We have a deity of Narayan in our house. Madhu Mangal's a Brahmin. He comes and worships that deity every day. Narayan is Satya Sankalpa. Whatever he says is divine truth. But my Gopal, he's a Mithyachar. He tells lies. Lord Narayan, he's Atmaram and Aptakam. He's completely satisfied. But my Gopal, he's a breastfed baby. And he cries if he gets hungry. Lord Narayan is the absolute truth. But my Gopal, he's a chore. He steals things. I've seen. Lord Narayan is worshipable for everyone in the universe. But my Gopal sometimes carries my shoes on his head and brings them to me. How can you say our Gopal is Bhagava? Uddhava, you're just a boy. I thought you knew Siddhanta. You don't know anything. And you're trying to pacify us by telling us that our Krishna is Bhagavan. Rather than making us peaceful, you're pouring ghee on the fire of our pain. We thought we've lost Gopal. Now you're telling us we've lost Bhagavan. We've lost God. We've lost everything. What are you telling us, Uddhava? Uddhava told Narad Muni and Subhadra and Balaram, I couldn't pacify them. I tried to pacify the gopis. I went to Uddhavakari near to Nandagaon. And Radharani had a talk there, the Brahmaragit with a bumblebee. I tried to pacify her, but whatever I said, nothing worked. Finally, I saw they only wanted to hear one thing. There was only one medicine that would keep them alive. And so I told them, when I return, I'm going to tell Krishna to return. He'll come soon. Krishna promised, Ayasya, Ayasya, I'm going to come. Uddhava said, now if I go there again and Krishna's not with me, they won't believe me. They'll say, you're a liar, Uddhava. Get out from here. I can't go there. So then they said, Balaram, you should go. Balaram, you're Krishna Purabhaja. You're Dauji, Krishna's elder brother. And Krishna previously sent you from Dwarka with a message to Vrindavan. They'll believe you, you should go. And Balaram was quiet. And he hung his head down. And he said, I also can't go. They won't believe me either. Previously, Krishna sent me with that message. And like Uddhava, I saw there's only one thing they want to hear. Only one thing which will keep them alive. If I tell them Krishna's coming. So I told them that. I said, I'm returning to Dwarka now. And when I go back to Dwarka, I'm going to tell Krishna immediately, Krishna, you have to return to them. And I did. When I came back here to Dwarka, I saw Krishna and I said, Krishna, you have to go back. They're going to die. If you don't return there, they won't be able to live without you. Balaram said, I don't understand. Krishna, since he was a little boy, he always obeyed me. He always listened to me and respected me as the elder brother. But this time, Krishna didn't obey my instruction. He didn't return to Braj. Krishna didn't say anything. So I also can't go. At that time, Subhadra stepped up. And Subhadra said, I'll go. Everyone knows that men are very crooked. And ladies are very simple and straight. They won't believe you, but they'll believe me. I'll go to Vrindavan. And I'll sit on the lap of Mother Yashoda. And I'll take a cloth. And I'll wipe away her tears. And I'll tell her, Ma, Krishna's coming. Krishna's coming. He's coming soon. And they'll believe me. Yes. Everybody said, you do that. So immediately, they called for Padmadvaj, Subhadra's chariot. And who is Subhadra's chariot driver? Her husband, Arjun. And she went out to her chariot. And then Balaram, seeing what was going on, said, I also want to go. So they called for his chariot, Taladvaj, And Balaram came out and he got in the chariot, and Balaram started first, and Subhadra started following. This is Rathayatra. If you go to the Rathayatra festival in Jagannath Puri, you'll see there are three chariots. On the first chariot is Balaram. On the second chariot is Subhadra. And third chariot, coming at the end, is Chakradhara Jagannath. So then they said, so Narad Muni, you should sing some Braj Leela Kahani. So then Narad Muni picked up his veena and he began to sing. Suddenly, Krishna regained external consciousness and he jumped up, and immediately his hand went to his belt. And he started feeling around. He said, where's my flute? Those gopis, they must have stolen it again. And then Krishna looked around and he said, Uddhava, Narad Muni, what are you doing here in Vrindavan? And they had to tell him, you're not in Vrindavan. You left Vrindavan. You're in Dwarka. And then Krishna began to cry. I must return. I must return. How are they living without me? I have to return now. He said, yes. Your chariot is ready. And then Krishna began to go out to the chariot. But Krishna couldn't walk. For those of you who've learned from Prabhanu Prabhu that you should follow four regulator principles, and it's very important, you'll be very shocked to hear what I'm about to tell you now. Jab Krishna was drunk. It's a fact. He was drunk. He wasn't drinking this wine or type of things, beer or whatever it is they drink here in South Africa. He was drinking another kind of wine called Radha Maduri. The wine of Radharani. And he was completely intoxicated, so much so he couldn't even walk. He was swaying back and forth. And if you want to see this, come to Jagannath Puri for Rathayatra. There's a ceremony called the Pahandi Vijay. And Jagannath comes out of the temple to get onto his cart, and he's moving like this. He's swaying back and forth. because he's an intoxicated fellow. He's been drinking this alcohol, this wine of Radha Madhuri. He's drunk. And they put him on the chariot. Meanwhile, Balaram and Subhadra had already arrived in Vrindavan, and they were so excited to see all their beloved family members and friends. They jumped off their chariots and they ran to greet the Brijbasis. And then something happened. When Balaram and Subhadra saw the condition of the Brijbasis, who were dying, they became stunned. It said that after Krishna left Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda was simply standing in the road, looking in the direction where Krishna had left, and waiting for her boy to come back. And she was just standing there like a statue, crying. She'd stopped cooking, and Mother Yashoda's stove was now full of cobwebs. All the residents of Vrindavan were in a dying condition in separation from Krishna. Even the animals had stopped eating, and even the plants and trees were withering up and dying. Even the Jamuna River was now only flowing very little, and Giri Govardhan had shrunk even faster. And the gopis. Who can describe the condition of the gopis? They'd stopped taking bath. They'd stopped brushing their hair. For a woman, that's a very big thing. They'd stopped putting ornaments on. They'd stopped putting on fresh saris. What was the need? Why should they ornament themselves? Why should they give bath to themselves? The only person that they loved more than them, their own life was gone. What was the necessity to decorate? And they'd stopped eating. My Guru Maharaj said they'd become so thin from not eating that the rings on their little fingers had become bangles on their wrists. And Balaram and Subhadra arrived and they saw that. This is not like some story. We may see some photos. I remember in America in the 1970s, there were pictures of some prisoners of war who had come back from Vietnam and they were so very, very thin and they were dying. It's a very horrible thing to see that. This is not something horrible like that. Because their condition is a symptom of their intense ecstasy, their intense love for Krishna. When Balaram and Subhadra saw them in that situation, they became so moved, they'd never seen love like that before. Something happened to Balaram and Subhadra. Because generally there's a difference between deha and dehi, the body and the soul, the self within the body. But in the case of Balaram and Subhadra, there's no difference between deha and dehi. They're one and the same. So when they felt this intense ecstasy, seeing this love like they've never seen before, the residents of Vrindavan, something happened to them on the inside and that manifested on the outside. Suddenly, their eyes became very big and a smile came on their face and their hands and legs shrunk inside of their body. This form is called Mahabhav Prakash, or the form of great ecstasy. And we see it here on the altar with Balaram and Subhadra. And they fainted on the ground. No one could give a message. Meanwhile, Krishna was leaving Dwarka and he was coming very quickly to Vrindavan. At that time in Vrindavan, something very terrible was happening. Srimati Radharani, who is the personification of love for Krishna, Radharani was dying. For so many years, she had tolerated separation from her Pranavallabha Shama Sundar, her life and soul, Krishna. And finally, the pain of that separation had become so intense that she was dying. She had a terrible fever. She was laying in a place called Niduvan. Niduvan is there in Vrindavan. It's not far from the temple of Radharaman. She was lying in that kunj. She was laying with her head on the lap of her pranasakhi, Lalita. And her other pranasakhi, Vishakha, was fanning her. And word very quickly spread throughout Vrindavan, did you hear, oh my God, Radharani's dying. All the residents of Vrindavan began going there to Nidhuvan and crying and praying to Radharani, Radhe, Radhe, don't go, please don't go. Rupa Goswami in Lalita Madhav says that Radharani has a cousin, and her name is Chandravali. You may have heard that name before. Chandravali is sometimes considered to be some competition for Radharani. When Chandravali heard that Radharani was dying, Chandravali ran there and she grabbed Radharani's feet and put them on her chest, and she began bathing the feet of Radharani with her tears and crying and praying, Radhe, don't go. Sometimes people say that I am some competition for you, but it's not true. Krishna only loves you. Sometimes he comes to my kunj. It's true. But the only reason he ever comes to my kunj is because he wants to see your loving sulkiness called man. Krishna gets some pleasure when he sees that you're very angry with him. Sometimes Krishna sees Chandravali. And when he sees Chandravali, he becomes ecstatic. He becomes so ecstatic he forgets everything else. Why does he become ecstatic? Because Chandravali looks something like Radharani. She reminds Krishna of Radharani. And Krishna becomes stunned in ecstasy. And then at that time, Padma and Saibhya, two of the assistants of Chandravali, they take Krishna by the hand. And they pull him into the kunj of Chandravali. And Krishna is supposed to meet with Radharani, but he doesn't show up. And Radharani becomes very, very angry. So Chandravali was crying. He said, Radhe, I'm no competition for you. We can't live without you. You're Vrindavaneshwari. You're the princess, you're the queen of Vrindavan. Please don't go. Then at that time, Kutila, the envious so-called sister-in-law of Radharani, came there. She'd heard that Radharani was dying. She also began crying. And Kutila grabbed Radharani's feet and held them to her chest. And she began to pray. Radha, don't go. Don't go. I know. I've criticized you. So many times I criticized you. I called you terrible names. I said you're asati because you're going with that black snake Krishna. You're not actually chaste to my brother Abhimanyu, Radharani's so-called husband. I criticized you many times, but Radhe, I remember once when Krishna had some sannyas jvara. He had some fever of sannyas. And word very quickly spread throughout Braj. Krishna has a fever. Who can heal his fever? They sent for many Ayurvedic doctors, but no one could heal Krishna. And Krishna finally told everyone, there's only one thing that'll heal my fever. If a woman brings me water, a pot of water from the Jamuna. But that lady has to be perfectly chaste. And the proof of her chastity will be that that pot should have 1,000 holes in the pot. And if she's really a chaste lady, then not one drop of that water will come out. That is the only thing which will heal my sickness. So all the ladies at Braj became very shy. Who's going to volunteer to put a pot with 1,000 holes of water on your head to prove your chastity? And then Kutila said, I step forward. I said, yes, I'm a very chaste lady. I can do this thing. I'll show you. And I went to the Jamuna. I took that pot of water. I filled it up with water and I put it on my head. And every drop of water came out. And I was standing there, soaking wet and humiliated when all the gopis began laughing at me. At that time, Radharani, you stepped forward and you said, give me the pot. And you took that pot and you went to the Jamuna and you immersed it in the water and you said one word, Govinda. You took the pot out of the water and you put it on your head and not one drop came out. In this way, you proved that you were the supremely most chaste person in all of Braj. Radhe, we can't live without you. Don't go, don't go. And Kutila was crying in this way. And then Abhimanyu came. Abhimanyu is Krishna's Radharani's so-called husband. It's another long discussion. Sometimes we give a seminar about Abhimanyu and how he got to marry Radharani. Very crazy thing. It's another topic. He's actually Krishna's shadow. There's a long story about him. It's another discussion. Abhimanyu came and he started crying, Radhe, Radhe, don't go. People sometimes say that I'm your husband, but I never even touched you. I'll tell you a secret. At the time of Abhimanyu and Radharani's wedding, Krishna, he's the nephew of Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu is an old fellow. And when they were married, Krishna went there at the wedding ceremony and Krishna glanced at Abhimanyu. And when Krishna gave his glance at Abhimanyu, something happened. I don't know how to put this in a very polite way, but his male equipment disappeared. And so he became very, very embarrassed after that. There was no wedding night. He was always very embarrassed to go near Radharani. So Abhimanyu, he started crying, Radhe, don't go, please don't die. We can't live without you, Radha. Please, I never touched you. They say I'm your husband, but I never, ever touched you. Just at that time came a sound. All the Brijbasis could hear the sound of a chariot coming. And Krishna arrived on his chariot there in Niduvan. And Krishna was so excited to see Radharani. Immediately he jumped off his chariot and he went running to Radharani. And then Krishna saw Radharani's condition, lying there with a terrible fever, dying, not having combed her hair in so many years, not having taken bath, with no ornaments, with no proper dress on, lying there and dying. When Krishna saw this manifestation of love of Srimati Radharani, Krishna became so moved, something happened to him. Suddenly his eyes became very big. And his hands and legs shrunk into his body. And a big smile came on his mouth. And that form is a form of Jagannath, the form of Mahabhav Prakash. And he was standing there stunned in ecstasy. And Radharani is laying nearby in a dying condition. There was union. But it was a very strange union. At that time, Brinda Devi, who's very expert at orchestrating everything in Braj, she called for a nice, pleasant, warm breeze. And that breeze carried the fragrance of Krishna's body to the nostrils of Srimati Radharani. And at the same time, Lalita whispered into Radharani's ear, Radhe, Krishna's returned. Krishna's returned. And then Radharani opened her eyes and her sickness went away. So Radharani has regained her external consciousness. But Krishna is still in this unusual condition. So Radharani sent Vishakha. Vishakha knew the medicine for Krishna. She went to Krishna and she whispered into Krishna's ear, Radhe, Radhe. And then Krishna regained external consciousness. And it was eye-to-eye union. It was at this point when he was telling the story that my Guru Maharaj became very ecstatic. And he couldn't speak anymore. Previously, when he told this story, he said that this is the meeting in Jagannath Puri between Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna's Jagannath, And Mahaprabhu is Radha Bhavaduti Sivalitam, Krishna Sarupam. He's in the mood of Radha. And he said that Krishna, there in Nidavan, he told Radharani, to commemorate this pastime, I'll always keep this form as Mahabhav Prakash Jagannath. He's Madhurja Rasa Ganayati Murti. Madhurja Rasa Ganayati Murti means the condensed form of conjugal mellow. Like if you take some cream off the top of the milk and then you cook that down. That's like Jagannath. The condensed form of conjugal mellow. Madhurja Rasa Ganayati Murti Mahabhav Prakash. This is Jagannath. To commemorate this pastime, I'll keep this form of Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, and we'll have a strange meeting there. You'll come there as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is two personalities in one. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the embodiment of separation. My Guru Maharaj said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna Viraha Vidura Rup. If separation from Krishna can manifest a form, that embodiment of separation is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's a combined form of Radha and Krishna. This is the meaning of Vipralamba. Jiva Goswami says in Priti Sandarbha, the meaning of Vipralamba is Vipralamba. It means external separation, but internal union. Mahaprabhu is crying in separation. This is why we don't put a peacock feather on his head. Because he wants to cry for Krishna. And if you put a peacock feather on his head, then you're telling him, you're Krishna. And then he won't cry. And he won't give the same mercy. He'll no longer be Mahavadanyaya, avatar. Because he's in the mood of Radha without a peacock feather. He's in the mood of Radha crying in separation from Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the outside is Radha, and on the inside is Krishna. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Sarupam. He's Krishna. But Krishna is hidden on the inside. And on the outside is Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Tapta Kanchana Gauranga. Shamasundar became Gaurasundar. His blackish complexion is on the inside, and on the outside is a golden complexion. He's the Murti, the deity of Vipralamba. And my Guru Maharaj said, so too is Lord Jagannath. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna Viraha Vidura Rup, the embodiment of separation from Krishna. And Lord Jagannath is Radha Viraha Vidura Rup, the embodiment of separation from Radha. If separation from Radha can manifest a form, that form is Lord Jagannath. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a combined form of both Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada writes in teachings of Lord Chaitanya that separation is external and it means internal union. Jagannath is the Ishtadev for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Jagannath is also a combined form. Rasa nandi radha sarasava puralingana suko Jagannatha swami nayana patagami bhavatu me. Rasa nandi radha sarasava puralingana suko. He's always embracing Radharani close to his chest. And the Shoda Nyasa mantra is chanted over that daru. Radharani is there in him. And we see Radharani in the form of this Ardhanari Ishvara deity, the Shaina Vigraha, who's half male and half female, who's golden like Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, golden like Radharani. Jagannath is also a combined form of Radha and Krishna. And we say this on the strength of these two pramanas, three pramanas, the Jagannath Ashtakam, Rasanandi Radha, Sadasabhapur Alingana Sukho. He's always embracing Radharani to his chest. But where is Radharani? We don't see her when we undress Jagannath. Radharani is inside. This is one pramana. The second pramana is a Soda Nyasa mantra, which identifies Jagannath as Radharani. And the third pramana is the Shaina Vigraha, this deity who is Ardha Nari Ishvara, half female and half male, who is Lord Jagannath. Because Vipralamba means external separation, but internal union. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha on the outside and Krishna on the inside. And Jagannath is Radha on the inside and Krishna on the outside, crying for Radha. Radha's on the inside because he's crying and crying. And in that crying, there's union. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha on the outside crying for Krishna. She's crying and crying. And there's union. Krishna appears in his heart. Therefore, Jagannath is the Easter Dev for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Radharani is there. She has to be there. Otherwise, how could Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worship Lord Jagannath? We should understand this. Lord Jagannath is a Gaudiya deity. He's the Easter Dev of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Prem Purushottam Sachinandana Gaura Hari Ke Shri Madhuja Rasaganaiti Murti Mahabhad Prakash Jagannath Swami Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Samabeda Bhakta Binda Ki Goprema Nande Hari Hari Bo Vancha Kapa Durubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I hope none of you are angry with me. I was afraid to look at the watch. Doing this, I just threw it away because I wanted to finish this katha. Thank you very much for letting me share this with you. This is many, many years of research and things that we've gone into for this. And really, it comes from our Guru Maharaj. He's the one who spoke this thing, and he gave some little road signs. Go this direction. And we found many, many things. It's only because of him that we found some of these things. So we feel very happy to come here. This very special temple of Jagannath Balavi Subhadra to be able to speak this thing. And I hope that Prabhanu Prabhu is not angry with me now for questioning where's Radha. And we don't want to come if there's no Radha, because Radha is here. It's okay now, Prabhu? Okay. So, I don't know if all of you can digest what we just spoke. If you're invited for a feast and they give you 10 kgs of sweet rice that's made with cream, it's a little hard to digest. There's a lot of cream in this katha. I'm very sorry. Usually we like to spread this out a little thinner and mix it a little bit so you can digest it a little easier. Huh? But anyway, we have very short time. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Guruji?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, I wish to start with a new fellow, and I had the capacity to hear from you. Anyway, I had a couple of questions, one is regarding the worship of Lord Chaitanya, and the other is regarding the worship of Lord Krishna. I'll start with the worship of Lord Chaitanya first. Like you mentioned, we don't put the peacock feather on Lord Chaitanya.
There are many different ways to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have our Gaura Artik song, which describes a Mahaprakash Leela in Shiva Sangam. When the devotees worship Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahaprabhu sat on the altar of Shiva's Thakur. He put the Shaligram Shivas on his lap and he said, "I'm Bhagavan." And the devotees were very, very happy because they didn't like to worship him as a devotee. They wanted to worship him as the Lord. And we worship him in that way. Srila Prabhupada told Bhanu Maharaj, it's in the folio, that we should not offer grains to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on Ekadasi because he's in the mood of a devotee. And we see, we're making a booklet about this subject. We just printed an article in our Hindi magazine about this. Why Gaudiya Vaishnavas don't put a peacock feather in Mahaprabhu. And I'm getting ready to make a small booklet about the same thing in English, which will be larger. And we're going to include pictures of dozens of deities, the Gaurinitai deities worshipped by Vrindavan Das Thakur, the Gaurinitai deities worshipped by Gauridas Pandit, the Gorgadhara deities worshipped by Gadadhar Pandit, many, many different deities, none of which have peacock feathers, none of which were worshipped with a peacock feather traditionally. Gaudiya Vaishnavas just don't do that. We do put tulsi on his feet because that's part of worship. And we may worship different forms of the Lord who are in the mood of a devotee. Balaram, he's in the mood of a devotee. Lord Anantasesh and Lakshman, they're in the mood of a devotee. But they're Vishnu Tattva. So we offer some tulsi leaves to their feet. We were recently in Tirupati and we went before a deity of Ramanuja. We had a group of devotees with us, and I pointed out to him, you see the garland around his neck? It's a tulsi garland. Why are they doing that? And you may know the reason. Because Sri Vaishnava is a very pukka. Why are they offering tulsi to Ramanuja? Because he's Rama Anuja. He's an incarnation of Lakshman. He's Vishnu Tattva. So they may do that. Sometimes we may also offer some tulsi garland to the deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we offer tulsi to his feet because he's Vishnu Tattva. But when we dress him, there's a subtle difference. When I worship, I'm doing the worship. He doesn't need the worship. He doesn't require it. The worship is for me. I'm doing it. It's my expression of devotion. And I'm offering tulsi on his feet because I think of him as the Lord. But when I dress him, I don't put a Shankha Chakra Gada Padma in his hands. I don't put a bow and arrow in his hands like Lord Ramachandra, but we could. He manifested the form of Sadbhuj. He is also Lord Ramachandra. We could put a flute in his hands, but we don't because he's in a different mood. And we want to dress him in that particular mood. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Satsarup Maharaj. And he said a similar thing in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that we should not disturb the mood of Mahaprabhu. And we should not worship him as Krishna. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he specifically says we should not offer the articles, the symbols of Krishna or Vishnu to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he's in the mood of a devotee. Our service should be anukulyena Krishna. It should be favorable service, meaning that we should serve him in the mood that he's come in. We don't offer Krishna a bow and arrow, although he's Lord Ramachandra, we could. He's come in a different mood. We give him a flute. And so we also don't give Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a flute, nor do we put a peacock feather on his head. My Guru Maharaj, he said, sometimes you may put a peacock feather on his head on the day of Janmashtami, once or twice a year or something. Sometimes the cowherd boys, they put a peacock feather on his head, on their head. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes manifested like that. But when we do that, the mood is different. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhagavan, but he's in the mood of Radha. Radharani is the personified Kripa Shakti of Krishna. She's the personification of Krishna's mercy potency. Now usually that Kripa Shakti is controlled by the Icha Shakti, the desire potency of the Lord. And therefore we see in Braj Leela, in Ram Leela, in Vaikuntha Leela, Lakshmi, Sita, Radharani and Braj, they're kept hidden. And very few people know about them because they're so merciful. Manavala Mamuni, who's the head of the Vadakalite Sampradaya, and the Tankalite Sampradaya, and the Ramanuja Sampradaya, he's commented on Ram Leela. He said that Sita was not present when Lord Ramachandra killed Ravan. He said she could not be because she's the Lord's personified mercy potency. If Sita were present, she would have stopped him. No, no, no. Be merciful on him. Don't kill Ravan. So Lord Ramachandra had to kill Ravan when Sita wasn't present. She's a personification of the Lord's mercy potency. So generally, that Kripa Shakti is controlled by the Icha Shakti, the Lord's desire potency. But in Gauralila, Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Sarupam. Radha Bhava is prominent. She's not being controlled or pushed down. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Radha. But when we put a peacock feather on his head and tell him you're Krishna, oh, that's right, I forgot about that. Huh? And then his mercy is different. And this is why traditionally Gaudiya Vaishnavas don't put a peacock feather on his head. They may offer Tulsi to his lotus feet because he's Bhagavan and we're worshipping him with that Tulsi. But when we dress him in the mood of a devotee because he's Bhakta Rupa. He didn't actually come to be a deity. This is a very interesting point. Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come? And I don't have that book with me. Jagadananda Pandit in Prema Vivarta, he's described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to do Acharya Leela. Acharya Leela means someone who's setting an example of their achar, their behavior, their acharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not come to be a deity. He's Bhakta Rup. He's the embodiment of a devotee. He wants to think of himself as a devotee. And as a devotee, he gives more mercy. His purpose in coming was to teach us how to do kirtan, how to do bhajan, how to cry for the Lord. And therefore, many times we tell devotees, when we take them on Parikraman Puri, we tell them, this Jagannath Puri, this is the Jagannath Puri University of Braj Prem. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened that university of Braj Prem in Jagannath Puri to teach us how to do bhajan. He's Bhagavan, he's Krishna himself, but he's come to teach us how to worship Krishna. He doesn't want to be Krishna. If you tell him you're Krishna, then he can't do his bhajan. He can't do bhajan in the mood of Radha. His whole purpose is to come and do bhajan. And therefore, in the Gambira, he achieves his fulfillment, his fulfilled desire, crying for himself there in the Gambira. And he teaches us how to cry. So in that sense, we can say it's not wrong, in one sense, to put a peacock feather in the deity of Mahaprabhu. He's Krishna. Someone can do it. In the same way, you could put a Shankachakra Gadapadma in his hands, or a bow and arrow, or a flute. But we don't do it, because we want to offer him favorable service, service which pleases him. We want to offer him service which reflects his purpose in coming. And if we do that, he gives more mercy, because he's in the mood of Radharani. And this is why traditionally Gaudiya Vaishnavas don't put a peacock feather on the head of Mahaprabhu, nor do they offer grains to him on a codicil. And therefore Prabhupada told Bhanu Maharaj, don't do that. And although Prabhupada once or twice told some devotees to put a peacock feather in the deity, and certainly I respect that, Prabhupada told me I would do that, but Prabhupada never made it a standard. It was never even recorded. It was never in writing. Prabhupada never told the mass of devotees to do like that. And moreover, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita paintings, like we see here above us, Srila Prabhupada oversaw those paintings. You won't find one single painting of Mahaprabhu with a peacock feather, including the formal Panchatattva painting, which we worship as a deity. Mahaprabhu doesn't have a peacock feather. And that's traditional Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So we're not trying to cause any trouble and tell people do this or do that. Although I think my Guru Maharaj would be very happy here in South Africa in Durban and here to see Mahaprabhu without a peacock feather. But we just like to inform devotees there's a reason why Gaudiya Vaishnavas don't do that. And it's a very good reason, because he gives more mercy. Okay? It's a good question, but we'll be honest.
The other question is, thank you very much for your answer. The other question is about relationship with Lord Krishna. Like you yourself actually mentioned that in your class that Radharani is very much more traditionally present in Vrindavan, although Krishna was worshipped. But then you also asked this question in the beginning of your class that if there is no Radharani in Jagannath, then why did we worship? But then if that was the case, then there was no deity separate from Radharani with Krishna in worship by the Goswamis. So how do you understand that?
Yes. So Govindaji, Madan Mohan, Gopinath, there was no deity of Radharani there traditionally, originally. But they were worshipping Radharani there with mantra, just like Radharaman. There's no deity of Radharani there with him. But they worship Radharani with mantra, and they have a little asan they put next to him. So that was the system at that time, historically. They were worshipping Radharani with mantra. because you can't worship Krishna separate from Radha. Okay? Anything else, sister? If you come to Jagannath Puri and you give us a week, we can help you digest this a lot better, little by little. It's a lot to think about at one time, I know. And there's a lot more, actually, too. There's some other things. I won't even go in that direction right now. You'll die. Prabhuji?
When is the Bhakti Yatra in Jagannath Puri this year?
What is the date, Krishna Kun?
29th of June.
She's our calendar. She can tell you the date of Janmashtami this year, Balaram's appearance date. She does our schedule. She knows everything. Anything else to say? Okay, so I want to thank all of you very much. Maybe we do a little more bhajan. This is a very nice raga for this time of night. It's called Triveni Rag. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Tonight, something's come inside of your heart and you have some feeling for Krishna and his feelings of separation. So I'd like to ask all of you to look inside your heart and find those feelings if you have that. Look at Jagannath and put your hands in the air. And let's all sing together and let's cry out to him. All together. Radhe Rama. Louder from the heart. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. 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 Hare Hare. Jujara Shaganaiti Murti Mahabhaprakash Jagannath Swami Ki Shri Jagannath Shri Baladev Shri Mati Subhadramai Sudarshan Ju Ake Shri Nandagannath Puridam Ake Gopremanande Panchakopadarubhishcha Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. So, we should all take prasad. Krishna Kund.
Yes.